You are maintaining offense personified, Durgodhana, as your infallible son. But he is envious of Lord Krishna. And because you are thus maintaining a non-devotee of Krishna, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. Relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible and do good to the whole family. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A good son is called apatya, one who does not allow his father to fall down. The son can protect the father's soul when the father is dead by offering sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This system is still prevalent in India. After the death of his father, a son goes to offer sacrifices at the lotus feet of Vishnu at Gaya, and thus delivers the father's soul if the father is fallen. But if the son is already an enemy of Vishnu, how in such an inimical mood can he offer sacrifice unto Lord Vishnu's lotus feet? Lord Krishna is directly the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and Duryodhana was inimical to him. He would therefore be unable to protect his father, Dhritarashtra. After his death, he himself was to fall down because of his faithlessness toward Vishnu. How then could he protect his father? Vidura advised Dhritarashtra to get rid of such an unworthy son as Duryodhana as soon as possible, if he was at all anxious to see the good of his family. According to the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, what is the use of a son who is neither a learned man nor a devotee of the Lord? If a son is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he is just like blind eyes, a source of trouble. A physician may sometimes advise the extrication of such useless eyes from their sockets so that one can be relieved of constant trouble. Duryodhana was exactly like blind, troubling eyes. He would be a source of great trouble to the family of Dhritarashtra, as foreseen by Vidura. Vidura, therefore, rightly advised his elder brother to get rid of this source of trouble. Dhritarashtra was wrongly maintaining such personified offense under the mistaken impression that your Duryodhana was a good son able to liberate his father. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyanan Jana Chalakaya Chakshurum Bilidam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam
Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Pada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagar Jatam Sahakana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Shatarine Hare Krishna. I am very grateful, very honored, and most happy to be here to serve you today. Thank you for all coming to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Over the past weekend, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of when His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, welcomed the deities of Radha Gokulananda to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Of course, the more we understand Srila Prabhupada's life, the years of events that led to Srila Prabhupada offering archery and dancing with all the devotees at Bhaktivedanta Manor, the more we understand the philosophy and culture of Krishna consciousness from his books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, we had the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Devotion, Shikisha Upanishad also. We can actually enter into the experience of what happened here 50 years ago and what is actually happening today. What we're praying will be tomorrow. This chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 3, Chapter 1
entitled Questions by Vidura is so relevant to preparing our consciousness to understand what Krishna consciousness actually is. I don't know who selected this verse or why, but this is the verse we've been given. It brings us right into the heart of a painful struggle. A couple days ago, His Holiness Jananda Swami, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam class, and the verse he was given, Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas, was Yudhisthira Maharaj glorifying his uncle Vidura as a great saintly person, a person who all the holy places of pilgrimage he carries in his heart. What are the qualities of Vidura? In today's verse, he's being totally betrayed. Vidura was faithful to his elder brother, Dhritarashtra. And he was nothing but kind and gracious to his nephew, Duryodhana, and his brothers, while he was at the same time very loving and kind to the five Pandavas. Duryodhana wanted to destroy them due to envy. Yudhisthira Maharaj was more popular than him. Bhima was stronger than him. And they were actually the rightful heirs to the throne. All the things that we should honor people for, he was envious of. Janasya moho yamaha mameti. Because he was not thinking of what is God's wish. As soon as we take the pleasure of Krishna, the service of Krishna, out of the focus of our life, then we are in the trap of janasya moho yamaha mameti. We value everything according to I and mine. And due to this ego, we can become so bewildered by selfishness. Due to attachment to his son, the elder brother, Vidura was his younger brother. Due to attachment to Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra was willing to go along and be part of the schemes to literally exterminate his nephews, the Pandavas, in every way. Vidura, he could understand what was going on because he was the most loving brother of Dhritarashtra and always giving him good counsel. He didn't just preach to him. He did preach to him. He always preached to him. But it was out of love and care. And in
the purports that of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada is describing so many of the ways that Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra tried to eliminate the Pandavas. They tried to burn them alive in a lacquer house, offering them a holiday. We have a wonderful house built just for you. And even Kunti Devi, the mother of Pandavas, the sister-in-law of Dhritarashtra, who is a well-wisher of everyone, they were willing to burn her alive along with her sons. But it was Vidura who secretly sent a message that was in like a code that told Yudhisthira exactly what was going to happen. And by Vidura's grace, they escaped. Yes, Duryodhana's brother, Dushasana, when they were stripping Draupadi from her cloth, a pain worse than death for a woman of her stature at that time, Dhritarashtra just let it be. He was responsible. He was the king. He was part of the scheme where they cheated Yudhisthira Maharaj in gambling. And Srila Prabhupada explains, because Yudhisthira Maharaj was so truthful, he was willing to accept with his brothers exile. For almost 14 years. And when Yudhisthira Maharaj and sent Krishna, along with Arjuna, they sent Krishna to make peace. Krishna was the cousin brother of the Pandavas. He was their friend, their well-wisher. He even took the role of their messenger. And he presented with such eloquent, sweet, affectionate, philosophical, and true words. Some of the assembled people, like Bhishma, their hearts were melting. I was kind of praying that something would happen to wake everybody up. thank you, whoever that is. How do you go? Sometimes it's better to leave the leaves. Krishna came to actually humbly request an arrangement to create peace between the Pandavas and the Kurus. All Yudhisthira is asking, you could have the whole, even though he's entitled to be the emperor of the whole world, if you just give a small village for each of the Pandavas, you, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, you could keep the rest. and that famous reply of Duryodhana, I will not give the land to them that is equal to what you could push the head of a needle into. And Dhritarashtra accepted it. He could have stopped it, but due to attachment, he didn't. And Vidura was always right there at his side, trying to give him good advice. And when the desperation was coming to such a level that Vidura, who was such a great saint, such a compassionate, forgiving Vaishnava, when he saw what was about to happen, massive people killing each other, widows, fatherless children, so much pain, so much suffering, he became very strong with Dhritarashtra. And we come to today's verse. So I'll begin the class with your permission. You are maintaining offense personified, Duryodhana. And you're maintaining him as your infallible son. In every way, Vidura, over years and years, was trying to help Duryodhana, help Dhritarashtra. Of course, he was always helping Pandavas. He was constantly being rejected by the Kurus. And now he's speaking very boldly. If you don't stop empowering Dhritarashtra, if you don't stop empowering your son, who is offense personified, everything in your life you're responsible for, your legacy, everything will be destroyed. And in the next verse, Duryodhana is listening to all this. And Duryodhana knows very well that Vidura is speaking out of affection. There's no envy in his heart. But I and mine, his ego is so inflamed by his thirst to control, to possess, to enjoy. He insulted Vidura. And he insulted him in such a way, calling him the son of a kept mistress, calling him the enabler and friend of the enemy, calling him the spy of the devious Pandavas. And Duryodhana gave the order that you must leave your home, you must leave the palace and the kingdom, and you are not allowed to take anything or anyone with you except your breath. And Duryodhana said it in such a way that he was very generous. I will let you take your breath. That means I'm going to take everything away from you except your life. Vidura had a family. He had everything. And here is
Dhritarashtra, who Vidura was his best well-wishing friend and brother his whole life, sat and said and did nothing.
Srimad Bhagavatam tells, thus, pierced by the arrows through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. What does it mean to be transcendental? We may ask this question, if he's transcendental, then why was he afflicted to the core of his heart? It goes on, he was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. He was being betrayed, abused physically, emotionally, but he wasn't sorry it was happening. Such a mood of servant. He accepted it as a blessing. This is so much the theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days. The Pandavas were exiled for so many years. Dhruva Maharaj, his heart was pierced, and he left his home to enter the forest all alone as a 5-year-old child. And imagine from an emotional perspective, spiritually, we understand the transcendence of Prahlad Maharaj. He was right in the heart of the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu, surrounded by Hiranyakashipu's most powerful Rakshasa ministers and soldiers. They had already conquered Indra. They had already conquered the entire universe up to Swargaloka. And he's all alone, a 5-year-old child. All he had was the remembrance of Narada Muni, his guru, in his heart. And we know the terrorism that he had to endure. But like Vidura, there was something that Hiranyakashipu and all the armies and all the powers of the world could do. And in Vidura's case, there was something that all the atrocities of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and his sons could not do. In the case of Parikshit, there was nothing that a curse to die in 7 days could not do. And what was that? They could not stop them from being well-wishers. And even Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna had to fight a battle, a war, for justice. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, so he was not doing it with envy. He was not doing it with an anger born of revenge. He was incited, even with anger and fighting, to be a well-wisher.
when I was coming in, Astasaki Devi was reminding me of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. And this is so much a primary teaching in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Dina hina yata chilo harinamu tarilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Jagai and madhai were so much demoniac. In previous lives, they were actually Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, Shishupal and Dantavakra. And now they come again. And they're causing so much pain, so much corruption. They're insulting Nityananda Prabhu, they're attempting to kill him. So much so that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who taught Trinadapi Sunichena, when he saw such an injustice to a devotee, Nityananda Prabhu was standing, bleeding profusely due to Madhai smashing him in the head with a pot. When the news came to Lord Chaitanya, he ran there like the wind. And his eyes were like the fire of devastation of the universe. He had such anger. And he looked upon Jagai and Madhai with those eyes and called out for his Sudarshan Chakra. And Sudarshan appeared. Can you imagine? Lord Chaitanya, the source of the universal form that we read about in Bhagavad Gita, staring at you with such anger, with his Sudarshan Chakra spinning above his head, ready to destroy you. That was too much for Jagai and Madhai. They understood with all of their powers. They are destroyed. And Nityananda Prabhu is praying, begging, give them your holy names. Forgive them. We have come to give love of God to these people. Such a tribulation. And Nityananda Prabhu's partner in spreading Krishna consciousness was Srila Haridas Thakur. And he also had a similar situation. We know stories. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. People sent prostitute to make him fall down, so that he could be imprisoned and punished. He was blasphemed again and again and again. But nothing could take him away from being a well-wisher, even though he responded in a very, very practical way according to the situation. So here is Vidura. He's being insulted in front of everybody. Severely insulted. And deprived of everything he has and everyone he has. And nobody stands up to say a word to defend him. And here Sukadev Goswami is saying, it wasn't... He was afflicted to the core of his heart. The words of Duryodhana, we may say sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never harm you. And that's another thing. But this is not saying like that. This is saying those words, they were like piercing arrows going through his ears and afflicting the core of his heart. Because it wasn't just the words, it was what was behind them. He was being totally betrayed by people that he deeply loved. It's not so painful when enemies attack. But when people you love, people you care about, when this happens. But yet, even in this condition, Vidura, it is explained, he's not sorry. How can you be afflicted in that way and not be sorry? Because he was saying, how can I serve Krishna in this situation? When we're thinking of how we can serve, we translate everything that comes into our life in such a way in which it's giving us an opportunity to serve. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, Jivera Swarupoi Krishner Nityadas. That's a very basic teaching. The eternal constitutional nature of every soul is we are eternally servants of Krishna. That little phrase encompasses such a depth that brings us to highest realizations when cultivated by our acharyas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the seed of that little verse that we're eternal servants of Krishna, and his teachings to Sanatana Goswami all day, every day, for 2 full months on the bank of the Ganga in Varanasi. He developed that verse. He explained that verse to the extent of the unmotivated, uninterrupted, eternal love of the residents of Vrindavan, which culminates in the gopis' love for Krishna, which culminates in Sri Radharani's love for Krishna. That is within the seed of the understanding that we are servants of Krishna. But love for Krishna, realization of Krishna, can never be achieved. It's the property of Srimati Radharani. Krishna is the property of Srimati Radharani. And through Guru Sadhu Shastra and through the Paramatma, the Lord, within our own heart, realization of Krishna, love for Krishna, is given to us. Samsidhirhari Toshanam, when Krishna is pleased. From without and within. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamya. Krishna reveals himself according to our surrender. And surrender is, Krishna, I'm yours to serve you in whatever situation may come. Srila Prabhupada's the founder acharya of our spiritual lives. And being the founder
His life is the foundation that we build our bhakti upon. And how did our movement begin? 1922, Srila Prabhupada gets instruction to take Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to the English language all over the world. Forty-3 years later. He boards the Jalatuta. And before that, he tried to develop an international headquarters for his mission in Jhansi. He spent an entire year, almost, trying to develop that project. And then one day he was kicked out. He was told, you can't stay here anymore. We're going to use it for something else. For most of us, we would think, well, let me do something else. Another service. Because almost everybody else was. Nobody else was really going to the West to try to spread Krishna consciousness. And it's not that the instruction only came to him, but it was given to him. He went to Vrindavan, started back to Godhead. Well, he already had started back to Godhead, but he was going, he started Srimad Bhagavatam. We saw in that beautiful drama by Pandava Sena, Srila Prabhupada was begging and pleading with Sumati Murariji to give him the chance to serve. He wasn't asking anything for himself. He was asking for us. And he was being refused day after day. She rejected. You are too old. And America's too cold. And Jaladutta was so old that soon after it was sold. But Prabhupada's desire was so bold. He was begging. He was pleading. He was fasting. She was off. She was sending food out to him. No, no, I will not take food. I will only take tickets. And he was sitting on her step and not getting up. Not like a nice asana. He was sitting on her steps leading to her office. And for Sumati, because I met Sumati Murariji at her home in Juhu near Mumbai, and she was crying when she was explaining to me that it was so hard for her because she loved Srila Prabhupada. She really loved him as a saint. She was a great devotee of Krishna. And she was certain he would die. And it wouldn't be just like a nice death on a cargo ship in the sea. It's better to die in Vrindavan. There were no other devotees on the ship. It was just workers and a captain. Yes, it was very difficult. It broke her heart to give him that ticket. And it's not that all those things didn't happen.
in his diary, he was intensely seasick. 69 years old. And then on top of the seasickness, he had 2 heart attacks. He could not even write a word in his diary during that time. He could only just draw a line. There was no doctors, there was no medicines. The sea was still very turbulent. Later on, he said, it felt like I was riding on a little matchbox being tossed around by the waves of the ocean. But he just, like Vidura, how may I serve you, my Lord? And after all of that, 38 days at sea, when he's finally about, you know, he's about to arrive in Boston and then down to New York. After all that, and he doesn't even know for sure if anybody's going to be waiting for him. He didn't know anybody. It was just a man who he briefly met in Agra that somehow or other got his son to send a letter of recommendation for him coming. And they actually didn't even want him to come. They were just doing it to pacify the father. He'll never come. Coming to a foreign land for the first time out of India in your whole life, in that health condition, no money, not knowing what's ahead of you. And what is Srila Prabhupada's prayer? Krishna, you have brought me here. He wasn't praying for good health. He wasn't praying to arrange a place for him to stay. He was just praying, Krishna, please speak your words through me. And please give these people who are suffering due to the modes of passion and ignorance, give them the ability to understand your words. Let me dance as your puppet, my Lord. In such a situation, he's praying in this spirit of service. And he was sitting in Butler, Pennsylvania for a month. Just tried to learn from a family of what America is like. And then he comes to New York and he's trying to get a building, and for month and month and month he's putting so much of his energy in trying to get a building, and he was so hopeful to have a temple. And then it totally, materially, it failed. It was all taken away from him. And they sold the building to somebody else. Transcendental. Srila Prabhupada describes in his diary in New York that he was mortified. That is such an intense word. That doesn't, mortify doesn't just mean he was hurt. But he was transcendental because even in that state, how can I serve you, my Lord? can I execute the order of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Whatever result came, he was always seeking the opportunity to please Krishna and Guru. Yes, 22nd Avenue. He actually established a little storefront in the East Village of New York City. Probably twice the size of the stage I'm sitting on is the size of the whole storefront of 22nd Avenue. And that's all there was. And it took a year to get that of struggle. And then he gets another little storefront in San Francisco. And during the time he had strokes, he had a stroke, he was very ill. He came back to India to see if Radharani and Krishna wants him to live or go back to or give up his body. For Srila Prabhupada to go back to Vrindavan at that time with only one other, that means his health was in a very, very serious state. Because through heart attacks and strokes and everything else, he just carried on. But now he's so ill that I have to go back to Vrindavan to see if Krishna and Balaram, Radha Shamsundar, want me to stay. And then when he comes back, he couldn't get another visa for America. He was in Montreal, Canada, struggling and striving with all his disciples to get another visa to get back to America, because his whole movement was in America at that time. But he wasn't allowed in. Month after month. Just a few weeks ago, I was with our beloved godbrother Pradyumna Prabhu, who was there in Montreal with Srila Prabhupada, and he really can tell stories because he knows everything. He was explaining something that not too many people know. Srila Prabhupada was discussing making Montreal his international headquarters because it almost seemed impossible to get immigration status to go back into America where everything he had done was. And it was there in Montreal that the devotees from San Francisco, Yamuna Devi and Guru Das Prabhu, Malati Devi and Shama Sundar Prabhu, Janaki Devi, Mukundam Goswami Maharaj and little Saraswati baby, they came to Montreal to beg for Prabhupada's blessings to come to London to start a temple. That was beautifully depicted in the drama that we saw. Where did they get that courage from? Where did they get that faith? Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Because Srila Prabhupada's courage and Srila Prabhupada's faith was the foundation that empowered them. In many ways, when we talk to those devotees, they were just so grateful for what Srila Prabhupada gave them. Not only liberation from the endless complexities and hypocrisies of this material world, but love for God, and not only love for God, but love for Krishna, the all-attractive source of all other conceptions of God. And not only love for Krishna, but love for Krishna as the residents in Vrindavan love Krishna. And not only love for Krishna as the residents of Vrindavan, but love for Krishna as Lord Chaitanya, who is Radharani, Krishna's pleasure potency, is teaching. Imagine that instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He didn't tell Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta in 1923, just teach Bhagavad Gita all over the world. He said, give the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the whole world in Western, in the English language. That one line, we could write millions of encyclopedias as a purport to that one line. Give the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language to the world. Lord Chaitanya! We heard that beautiful class by His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj a few days ago, speaking from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratveshe Namaha. This verse is spoken by Srila Rupa Goswami in Prayag, the place where Mother Ganga, Yamuna, and Saraswati come together. He's the most munificent, most magnanimous, most merciful of all incarnations of Krishna. And Krishna's the source of all incarnations. And Rupa Goswami is saying, Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna. That's wonderful. Krishna becoming more merciful than himself. Gauratveshenma. He came in a golden complexion. He came with Sri Radha's complexion. Radha Bhavaduti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He's coming with the Mahabhava of Sri Radha and the effulgent golden complexion of Sri Radha. And what is Sri Radha's golden complexion? It's a manifestation of her supreme love. Everything about the residence of Vrindavan, there's nothing material. There's nothing that we would consider physical. The forms, the characteristics of those forms, everything is personified expressions of their love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once in a day of Brahma comes, Yuga Avatar comes every Kali Yuga, every Yuga actually. But once in a day of Brahma, that is approximately 4,300,000,000 of our years. That's quite rare. You know, here in England, people really like antique old things. But here is Krishna comes. How rare is this? Once every 4,300,000,000 years, Lord Chaitanya appears. in the mood of Sri Radha to give the gift of Krishna consciousness in this context. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in preparation for fulfilling Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mission, he said in Mayapur Dhan, just a little distance from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace, he sat there and he chanted 1 billion names of Krishna, hardly eating anything, in Mayapur Dham. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted people from all over the world to come to Mayapur. We were hearing so many beautiful stories from devotees here in Bhaktivedanta Manor about the austerities that they were performing. You know, trying to find some relief from the freezing cold by a moment of putting your hand over the ghee flame, the ghee wick, after Mangal Arati. And so many austerities and dangers. And as I was listening to devotees speaking, it was such an experience to hear what devotees did to show their gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. And I was sitting beside His Grace Janani Vas Prabhu, who's with us today. In 1973, while here in London, so many difficulties going on, so little to serve with, just the Krishna's the only shelter. In Mayapur, Janani Vas Prabhu was living only with a couple other people in a straw shack, just a little shack made out of straw. With all these just paddy fields all around. And there were inimical people surrounding him. There was attacks by different Muslims who didn't want us there. During the rainy season, everything was flooded. They had to go up on the roof of the trash shack, and they had to share it with cobras and vipers and snakes, because during floods, they all come out of their holes and swim around. And there's a lot of them. He could have come back to England. For Janani Vas Prabhu to come back and do all the austerities would have been sense gratification. He was there in a... Why did he stay? He's in his early 20s. His whole life is before him. Why would you stay there? Why would people from upper middle class families of England want to live an overcrowded berry place and come here, you know, through all of the challenges? Yeah, anybody could have gone home and got home-cooked food, anything they wanted. Here they're struggling to get a potato. Yes. So when these seven devotees, including Saraswati, came to Montreal, where Srila Prabhupada didn't even know if he'd ever come back to America because of this visa problem, they were so grateful for what Srila Prabhupada gave them. He gave them the message of Lord Chaitanya. When we read teachings of Lord Chaitanya, when we read Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, when we read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can get a glimpse into a direction in which we can be given an understanding of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. When Srila Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan at the Radha Damodar temple, right beside the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Rupa Goswami, offering his prayers and his surrender every day, he was preparing for this mission to give us Lord Chaitanya's message by translating and writing purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And his introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam is a summary of Lord Chaitanya's life. Because it's through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, and Lord Chaitanya arranged it that it would come through the six Goswamis of Sri Vrindavan. That is how we can understand what is Vrindavan, what is Radhan Krishna, what is this spiritual world. So he gave us the life of Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya's life is the personification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these wonderful gifts is what the message of Lord Chaitanya was. This was the gift Srila Prabhupada was giving to the workers on the Jaladuta. There's no record that anyone at that time became a devotee, but he was sharing Krishna with everybody. Sally Agarwal, she never became a devotee as we generally consider a devotee. She was a Christian lady. When Prabhupada came to her house, her refrigerator was filled with meat. Srila Prabhupada was so gracious. He didn't say, get rid of this meat, you're going to take birth as a cow and get slaughtered. He didn't say any of that. He said, if you allow me, I will cook for you every day. But I need your whole refrigerator. So please take everything out and let me put my... And he cooked so nicely that they loved his cooking. He stayed there for about a month. And just last year, Sally Agarwal departed from this world. And her daughter, who was a little child when Srila Prabhupada was there in Butler, he was staying at a little YMCA hotel and coming to visit every day to cook and to spend time with family. She called the Chicago Temple. And said, my mother, one of her last wishes is she wanted disciples of Srila Prabhupada, followers of Srila Prabhupada, to lead the memorial service for her after she passes away. And devotees went up to lead, to have kirtan and lead the memorial service for Sally Agarwal in Madison, Wisconsin, where her daughter was living. She loved Srila Prabhupada and Yadu Bar Prabhu and Vishaka Prabhu's beautiful film, your ever well wisher. She's describing, he was more than a father for her. And she remained a Christian. And she remained a very American woman. But still, even, you know, over 50 years later, she wants to be blessed by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. So when these devotees came, they were so grateful to receive what Srila Prabhupada gave them. They wanted to reciprocate. There were times when Srila Prabhupada was asked, "How can we repay you for what you've given us?" Srila Prabhupada asked us two things. Follow what I'm teaching. Receive it and follow it. And share it with others. What does it mean to be grateful? There are many external ways that we can glorify Srila Prabhupada. But actually the purpose of all those methods of glorification is that we take really serious what we need to do to please him. They were so grateful. They were eager to come to London to establish the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And when we hear from those devotees who first came, it was not easy. They didn't have, of course they were younger than Srila Prabhupada, but they didn't have much more than Srila Prabhupada had when he came to America. All they really had was the instruction of their spiritual master. They couldn't even stay together. They were in all different places, living in basements and warehouses. But they had that gratitude to assist Srila Prabhupada in giving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And at the time of the installation of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, that glorious festival, and the joy in the faces of the devotees that we see in those photographs and those videos. That's actually forever. That's eternal. When we please Srila Prabhupada, when we please Krishna, that is an eternal moment that is never lost. What better way to utilize our time than make each moment eternal? Can you think of a better way? Krishna is eternal. His holy name is eternal. The Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita are eternal. And any moment that we are absorbed in remembering Krishna, in a mood to serve Krishna, that moment, Krishna is there with us. That means that moment is forever. And surrender means at every moment we're seeking to be absorbed in pleasing Krishna. Entering into the eternal realm of Krishna's mercy with each moment. Entering into the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada at every moment. Life may not last very long. And it won't, because nothing is very long relatively. But what a benediction, what a blessing, that at each moment we can enter into the eternal realm by absorbing ourselves. And actually we could do it just by sincerely calling out, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. With each syllable we can enter into the spiritual realm according to how we're surrendering for the pleasure of the Lord. The Lord is going to reveal the reality of where we are when we're chanting the holy names. So yes, in this beautiful story of Vidura, today's verse, he's being banished. And he's grateful. And he goes, I could go on a pilgrimage. He was all alone, just walking. He didn't know where he would eat, where he would sleep. He was just walking through. In those days, there was a lot of forests and jungles and lions and tigers and snakes and everything in India. He was walking through the forest and just going from one holy place of pilgrimage to another. Thinking, oh, what a benediction. His service was dealing with all the corruption and all the complexities and all the terrible politics of Hastinapur. Dealing with Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana and Dushasana and Karna and so many others. Sakuni. He was dealing with them every day. Trying to make things better, but they kept getting worse. Year after year after year. That was his service, and he would have done it till his last breath. But he was kicked out. He had no choice. So now he's on pilgrimage. And he's just seeing the beauty and the glory of this pilgrimage, just to absorb himself. And it's described in these chapters that we're reading. He goes up, you know, when he gets to Prabhaskshetra, he hears, because, you know, time is passing. Years are passing. He's on this pilgrimage. It wasn't just like during the Christmas break. He was on this pilgrimage for years and years. While he was away, you know, there was the Kurukshetra battle happened, and the Yadu dynasty fought with each other, and years went by, and there was no internet. There were no newspapers. He's just absorbed in Krishna, and he's hearing things every now and then. And finally he comes to the river Yamuna. Yamuna. And there he meets Uddhava. Uddhava is his nephew. Vidura's the age of Uddhava's father. When Uddhava was a little boy, Srimad Bhagavatam says, when he was only 5 years old, he loved to play with Krishna. He loved to serve Krishna. They were equals as far as age. And he was so absorbed in pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna. And if it meant playing with Krishna to serve and please Krishna, he did whatever. He was, his whole life, body, mind, word, soul, everything was only for his little friend Krishna. And his mother and father, they, to feed him, to bring him home to go to sleep was a challenge because he just wanted to be with Krishna. So this is Uddhava's whole life. And of course we know when Krishna left Vrindavan, he especially selected Uddhava to go and give his message to the Brijabasis, the Gopis, Sri Radha. It's one of the most important intimate sections of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he meets Uddhava on the bank of Yamuna. And Uddhava, he asks Uddhava, please tell me. And he asked all about how is Krishna, and how is Balaram, and how is Vasudeva and Devaki. And he was asking about so many of their relatives and friends from the Yadu dynasty. And Uddhava sitting there silently. Vidura so eager to hear. And Uddhava sitting there completely stunned for quite a while. He could not speak a single word. And then he speaks. My dear Vidura, the son of the world, Lord Krishna has set, and our house is now being swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare? And this is where Vidura understands Krishna and Balaram have left the world. And Uddhava is in total grief of separation. But in the association of Vidura, he starts discussing Krishna's pastimes. And feeling the ecstasy of Krishna's presence. Similarly, those pastimes of Srila Prabhupada coming here, it doesn't matter really if we're disciples or grand disciples or great grand disciples or great great grand, whatever. If we're absorbed, we are in the presence of that moment. That is the nature of transcendental sound vibration. After this beautiful reminiscence of Uddhava's devotion for Krishna, Vidura goes to Maitreya Muni to receive instructions from him, which is several chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And after all these years of being with such paramhamsas, when he learned that Dhritarashtra and his wife Gandhari lost their entire family. They were all killed in Kurukshetra. And yet Yudhisthira was so gracious and kind, with all love and respect. He provided everything for Dhritarashtra. That was Yudhisthira Maharaj. And Vidura, who was totally betrayed by his brother, he came from the forest all the way back to Hastinapur for one single reason. To show mercy to Dhritarashtra. He preached to great Dhritarashtra in such an effective way, and for the first time, practically in his whole life, Dhritarashtra was receptive. And he took, Vidura took Dhritarashtra back into the jungles with him, along with Gandhari, where they all ended their lives in Krishna consciousness. This is Vidura. And this is the gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us, this opportunity in whatever situation may come to be grateful, to be absorbed in Krishna, to remember Krishna, to chant the holy names of Krishna. And to serve according to how we could best serve with devotion. Thank you very much for tolerating me for such a long amount of time. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.